It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down,
okay, that's okay. Amazing. Well, what a great start we're getting off to
sometimes
today.
Sometimes you just got to wiggle the wire, don't you?
It's a connection, that's right. This is the Hour of Power. I'm Neva Pyatt, your host this morning. Ms. Monica's over there running the iPad, and Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd is our guest today. Good morning, Pastor.
Morning. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you, that's for sure.
Oh.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post it right on our Facebook page, and we'll see it about halfway through the program, or you can send it to our email, and our new email is hourofpower32@gmail.com. We couldn't get just Hour of Power. There was a jillion of those. We had to change it a little bit on Gmail. Also, our Facebook sponsor today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries. I'm getting the thumbs up from Monica.
You're doing all right.
I'm doing all right. Praise the Lord. Because I wasn't here yesterday, so, you know, it's not hard for me to get kind of undone when I miss a day.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else have I forgotten? We record in two parts. And it'll be over on our website, therockchristianmusic.com, after the program is over. So if you know someone that doesn't have Facebook, you can send them over to therockchristianmusic.com. They can click on the Hour of Power and then click on Wednesday, and they can hear the message there. Our new line that you can text to is 580-485-0837. So we've got a lot of ways that you can get us prayer requests, a number of different ways now. I think maybe I've stumbled through everything, Pastor. Would you pray to start us out?
I will. Our gracious Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you that as we think about your goodness, Lord God, there can be no doubt in our minds and our hearts that you love us. You gave your only begotten Son for us so that we could have eternal life and not just live forever in heaven, but Father God, that we might experience life here, even now, with your presence, ever present. And Father, we know there's nothing we're facing today. There's nothing any of our listeners are facing today that we're having to face alone. Father, we thank you that your power, your goodness is always for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? What can prevail as we trust in you? So we invite you, Lord God, to guide this program. Lead us in your word. Lead us in our words. And Father, I pray that you'd help people, Lord God, that receive what you have for them today by your Holy Spirit. We give you complete and total control here today. Lord Jesus, have your way. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And so your title today was or is God Laughs.
God Laughs.
All right.
Yeah, he laughs. And I'm going to just say this. He never gets nervous. He's never anxious.
He never sleeps or slumbers.
He never sleeps or slumbers. He never fails. He's not controlling everything, but he is always in control. You see, what does that mean? Some people mistake the sovereignty of God they think, oh, well, God's controlling everything. And if you think God's controlling everything, then it blows your world up when things happen that don't appear to be good. Like when Joseph's brother sold him into slavery. You know the Old Testament story of Joseph, you know, the younger brother, and his older brothers all hated him because he was favored, and they sold him into slavery. Like, wow, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but God was setting the whole family up to be rescued.
That's right.
You have to when you're God, you know the end of the story from the very beginning. Well, actually, you know the end of the story from before the very beginning. But we, in our finite understanding, we look at things like Joseph's story in Genesis, and we see that his own brothers turned against him. One of them actually wanted to just kill him. Another one said, no, let's don't kill him. He's our own brother. Let's sell him as a slave. I'm like, wow, I think you were born into a tough family. You know, Monica, you think you got a tough family. I mean, these people, whoa. But, you know, God was using what man intended for evil to bring about good. And if you go read the whole story of Joseph, you probably know he was sold as a slave in Egypt, and then he winds up in Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife accuses him of wrongfully, and he's thrown in jail wrongfully. And you say, oh, my goodness, where's God? Well, he is carefully orchestrating every tiny detail to arrive at a specific point at a specific time for a specific purpose. And what I want to remind you of this morning, and I'm reminding myself of it, this is, no matter how wild and crazy the ride can seem sometimes, know this, Jeremiah 29:11, the Lord declares, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I love that word have. Mm-hmm. In my study at home, I have that verse written out from about, I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago. I was really struggling with some issues that were going on in my life. And I honestly felt like this, and I know this might surprise y'all, but I felt like I had really just disappointed the Lord, and, things just aren't turning out the way I thought they was going to turn. I felt like a failure as a pastor. I felt like a failure as a husband and a provider for my wife. Things were really difficult in my life at that time. And I sat down one day, and the Lord brought me to that verse, and he said, I know the plans I have for you. He said, did you hear me? Plans I have, not plans I had until you messed it up, till you took a wrong turn, even though you were trying to take the right turn. Listen, man, if you're surrendered to the Lord, and I have lived surrendered to the Lord for 30 years, if you're surrendered to the Lord, you don't have to worry about, oh, did I mess it up? Did I go wrong? The only way you're going to get outside the will of God is you rebel. You just flat out tell God, I ain't doing it. I don't want that. And even then, he already knew you were going to do that. If you did come to that place of rebellion, he knows you're going to do it. You say, well, does that mean it's okay to do? Well, let me just tell you this. Do you like pain?
Mm-hmm.
Do you like destruction? Because that's what you get when you get outside the will of God. But we're living in the will of God. Pain and destruction can be all around us. And I'm not saying you're not going to face things that are not painful, because we do. This old world we live in, it's not heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I looked around today and I figured out pretty quick I'm not in heaven. You know, I'm in Western Oklahoma and the wind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to have all four seasons today. Praise the Lord. But I want to ask you, if you would, open your Bible up to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start reading there in just a minute, but I want to give you something from the book of Proverbs from the Passion Translation as we get started. Just a little footnote. So I got this Passion Bible here. 2 Peter chapter 3 is where I want to ask you to be, and I'm going to join you there here very shortly. Proverbs 10:5 in the Passion Translation is the verse I'm going to read here. Proverbs 10:5 in the Passion Translation says this, just know the importance of the season that you're in. A wise son you will be, but what a waste when an incompetent son sleeps through his day of opportunity. Now, if you read that in other translations, instead of calling it a day of opportunity, it calls it harvest time. You know, when we look around us in our world today and we see chaos and craziness and bad stuff and, you know, human agendas being pushed forth that are contrary to the will of God, I want you to realize something. God knew all that. He knows all that. There's nothing that ever surprises God. I don't know, Neva's been a few times. Neva shares something with me, or I'll share something with her, or she shares something. I said, well, Neva, this don't surprise God. And the reason I told her that, and the reason I say that, I might have said that to someone's hearing me today, this don't surprise God. It's because I have to remind myself of that all the time. You know, sometimes there are people that will come and they'll share something that you just didn't expect. But it didn't surprise God. Whatever's going on in your life today, it doesn't surprise God. What's going on in Ukraine today doesn't surprise God. What's going on in Washington, D.C., and God only knows what's going on in Washington, D.C., but it doesn't surprise God. And we don't have to worry. 2 Peter chapter 3, and beginning in verse 1, Peter wrote this. He said, "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you, and I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking." So what I want to do today on the Hour of Power is use God's Word to stimulate both you and me to wholesome thinking. The Passion Translation says this way, I want to awaken you to a proper mindset. I want to awaken you to a proper mindset. Man, we hear about woke, don't we? But I said this. This is my perspective on wokeism. When I say wokeism, I hope you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, you're probably better off. But when I talk about woke, I'm not talking about awake like the scripture's talking about. When it says wake up, arise, O sleeper, you know, that kind of stuff. Wokeism in our day to day is, I don't know why they chose to call it woke, because to me there's no one more absolutely lulled to sleep, completely undiscerning, than someone who claims to be woke. I said it this way, when you're asleep, you can wake up and your eyes will pop open, but when you're woke, they've been sewn shut. And they've been sewn shut one stitch at a time by you not looking at the world through the right perspective. If we forget who's ultimately in charge, now I'm not saying God is responsible for everything or that he dictates everything that goes on. God is not the author of murder. He's not the author of evil. He's not tempted by evil, and he doesn't tempt anyone with evil. That's the Word of God tells us that plain. But even in all the things that are going on in our world today that seem so evil, God is not asleep, and he is well aware of what's going on, and he is ultimately working a plan for mankind's good, just like he was working a plan when Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, and then Potiphar's wife wrongfully accused him, and he's thrown in jail, and then a butler and a baker that worked for Pharaoh were thrown in jail, and Joseph interpreted their dream. 2 years later, well, that's easy for me to say. Joseph woke up another 730 days in jail, you know. That's what it really means. I just read it all 2 years later, you know, the Pharaoh had a dream. Couldn't get anyone to interpret it, but hey, the baker finally remembered, or the butler finally remembered. Yeah, hey, there was a guy back in a jailhouse when you threw me in jail a couple years ago. He could interpret dreams. He had the Spirit of God in him. And so they sent for Joseph, and Joseph interpreted the dream. You probably know the story. He was put in charge of all of Egypt, and because of his wisdom that was given to him from God, he was able to save, who knows, hundreds of thousands of lives. And the ones that mattered most to him, you know whose life he saved? He didn't even know. He didn't even know when he was storing up that grain during the time of plenty, 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. He didn't know that when he was given the orders to store up that grain, that he was saving his own dad. He was saving his brothers and even his little brother, who was dearly loved. He had no idea what was going on. He just thought that he'd been... that his family hated him and they'd cast him off, and then he'd been wrongfully accused and this and that, but somehow, some way, he still wound up in this place, in his palace, in charge of, and he thought, you know, I'll spend the rest of my days here living in Egypt and that life is gone. But see, God was working something beautiful, and Joseph never even knew it until one day these guys came to buy grain, and Joseph said, I know these dudes. He probably had to step out for a second and have some prayer. He said, these are my brothers. I really believe this. I believe Joseph has settled that unforgiveness issue, that forgiveness issue. I believe he settled it. Most likely, Joseph settled it right off the bat, because you can see God's working good in his life, and you don't see it. The thing that you see over and over in Joseph's life is that the presence of God was prevalent in Joseph's life. The favor of God was upon him. And you don't walk in that. People can't see the favor of God in your life if you're bitter. So, you know, if you've been hurt, I doubt if your brothers and sisters sold you in slavery when you were little. They might have. Something may worse than that may have happened to you. I don't know. But I can tell you this. I've known most of the people I've known that struggled with forgiveness weren't facing anything nearly that severe. Maybe just somebody said something bad about them, and they just can't get over it. Somebody cheated them in a business deal. They can't get over it. Well, they can. You got to use wood to build a bridge to get over stuff. I recommend two beams, one reaching from earth to God and one reaching from left to right, as far as the east is from the west. Use the wood of the cross to get you across.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
That was pretty good. Give the Holy Spirit credit for that, because I never thought that before. 2 Peter 3, he said, "Beloved friends, my second letter," and the reason I wrote them is to awaken you to a proper mindset, or to stimulate you to wholesome thinking, the right way of thinking. So that's what we're going to do today. I want to pray real quick before we go on. I want to pray for our thoughts. Father, I'd stop right now before we go any deeper in your word, Lord, I stop right now. And I'm asking you, Lord, to give us minds to receive, hearts to receive, ears to hear what you have to say by your Holy Spirit today. I pray that it would become such a revealed revelation, rhema word in our hearts and minds that we'd be forever changed. That, Lord, worry would not find a place in us because we're thinking rightly. That fear would have no handle to grip upon because we're thinking rightly. And I pray, God, in Jesus' name, that every thought be subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So, in the Word, he said, I wrote these to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. And then he goes on and he's going to give us some perspective. He said, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through the apostles. So if you're having trouble with your thought life, here's point number one. Get back to reading the Word of God.
Amen.
Because if you say, well, I've been reading the Word of God, but I'm still struggling with my thought life. Okay, let me say this. Read and believe what you're reading in the Word of God. So he says, I want to write this to stimulate the wholesome thinking. And he goes, first thing I want to do, remind you what the Word of God has said through the prophets, through the commands of our Lord. And then he reminds us this. He goes, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. Scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. Do you know, I haven't always known this, but there are people who claim to be atheists. They say there is no God. They claim that. I don't believe they really believe that. And there are people who claim to be agnostics. You say, what's the difference? Well, an agnostic admits there is a God, but they just will not. They just choose not to follow him. They believe he's irrelevant, like I know better. Maybe you've heard this name, George Soros. Maybe you've heard that name. If you haven't heard that name, you could look it up. But he's one of those people today that thinks of himself as an elite. He's one of the richest men in the world, one of the most powerful men in the world, got a lot of influence on a lot of things that go on. Maybe you've heard the phrase the deep state. Well, I'm going to talk about deep state. How deep is the state compared to the depth of God? Come on.
Amen.
That's what I'm going to focus on. I'm not worried about the deep state. You know, some people say, well, deep state, that don't even exist, whatever. It's just a term that people have labeled on those, you know, people in the world that have a lot of power and a lot of influence and a lot of money that get together and try to think about how they're going to solve everything for the rest of us with or without our permission. Like they may deem that you're unfit to have children, so we're going to see what we can do about that. You know, they might put stuff in a vaccine that could fix that. Just saying. But George Soros, back to him before I go too deep. George Soros is one of those, calls himself, probably doesn't really call himself this, but others call him an elitist. He's elite. The Lord told me don't call those people that. He told me call them the prideful. Because pride comes before the fall. All these people who in the world today think they're above everything, they honestly think they're above God. They think they're above the law. They certainly think they're above me and you. But they think they got it all under control. And they're going to manipulate the world in their own little form of what they want it to be. You want to really get an eye-opening thing? Go look up what the 2030 agenda is of the World Economic Forum. You said, what was that? It was the World Economic Forum. It's the 2030 agenda. It's the New World Order, and they have a goal and a plan for humanity. Part of that is to eliminate the population of the earth from about 7 billion to 500 million. I don't know how they're going to do that, but they got all kinds of plans. Good news is God's got plans.
Amen.
And his plans will always supersede the plans of people who plot. Just like Joseph's brothers plotted. They had no good intentions whatsoever. Their intention was simply, we don't like this guy. He's daddy's favorite. We hate him. And he has these dreams from God, he claims, and we're all going to be going to grow up. We're all going to bow down to him. Are you kidding me? We'll fix that. In other words, they were choosing. They didn't just hate Joseph. I want you to understand this. They hated what God had planned. Because Joseph had a dream. It was from God. It wasn't from Joseph. Now, maybe he wasn't very discerning, always telling his brothers about his dreams, about him being the ruler, and even his parents bowing down. But it came to pass when he was in Egypt, he was the ruler. It was just God showing him what was going to unfold in a kind of a veiled way. But it was God showing him, giving him hints and clues about where God was leading him to. But they didn't just take Joseph. I want you to get this. They were trying to stop the plan of God. And you know what God did about it? Oh, look at you guys. You know, it's like the ant and the elephant. You know, God's bigger than any elephant, for sure. And Satan's goals and plans and plots are more defeated than any ant's plans. But you think about it. You really think the elephant fears an ant? Ant goes, I'm going to move that elephant. I'm going to put him where I want him. Like, ant, you may be able to move a lot more than just your little old body weight. You're a pretty amazing little creation by the hand of God. But I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to get it done. When it comes to our God is the rock. He is immovable. He is Almighty God. And I want to remind you of that. And these fact that in the last days there would come people that were scoffers. In other words, they mocked the things of God. They scoffed. They didn't care. They don't care. They don't care that an ultrasound proves that a baby's a baby. They don't care. If you think they care, you're wrong. They don't care. They'll murder babies. They'll murder you. They do not care. They're scoffers. They're godless. She went, Pastor, golly, this is kind of depressing. Well, we're not done yet. See, their agenda's evil. There ain't no doubt about it. Just like Joseph's brothers. I want to keep pointing you back to that story because how'd that one work out? You know, his brothers all wound up in Egypt buying grain from him. God's vision and dream came to pass in Joseph's life, and he was used to spare his entire family. His dad's name was Jacob, in case you didn't know that, who later was given the name Israel. And the nation of Israel is still on the earth today. You know why? Because Joseph's brother's plan failed. Man's plans fail. God's plans prevail. Peter says, I want you thinking correctly. He goes, I wrote this letter so that you would think right. To stimulate you to wholesome thinking. So, and then that Passion Translation said, awaken you to a proper mindset. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. If someone's like, you heard me talking about this stuff, you go, oh my gosh, don't talk about that stuff. I don't even want to think. I want to just bury my head in the sand and pretend like evil don't exist in the world. You know, I'm just going to concern myself about my four and no more. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't think that what people you'll never meet affects you, like Joe Biden, he closed the pipeline. Then Vladimir Putin decides to invade Russia, this and that, and all these things happen, and you say, well, it don't affect me. Really? You ain't putting gas in your car? I put gas in my car, and it affected me directly. Mm-hmm. But here's something else. Do you realize that God knew that gas prices were going to go up? Do you realize that God is supplying all of our needs according to his glorious riches? Well, oh my goodness, I'm living on a fixed budget. Well, I'm glad it's fixed. They're glad it ain't broke. See, well, I only have a limited amount of income. Well, I believe God can bless you in ways. First of all, though, going down that road, if you're not honoring God with what you got, I'd start. I really would. I'm just going to put that right out there. If you're not tithing, if you're not honoring God with what you got, I would be terrified if I wasn't honoring God with what I got. Because I'd be wide open to the enemy coming to steal from me, and I would not have the promise that God gave us when we honor him with our first fruits, that he said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. I'll open the windows of heaven, pour you out blessings. So don't worry. Just honor God with the first fruits and trust God for the rest. See, well, how could God, I know I'm only going to get X amount of dollars this month. How's God going to help me? And groceries are higher and gas is higher. Well, I tell you this, God knows, and he has a plan in place. Because maybe he knows it. Maybe if you need more groceries than what you can buy, I believe God, I go to the grocery store and go places all the time and find things I want on sale. All the time. Almost never pay full price for stuff. He said, well, what about that? And then sometimes people just give you stuff. He said, well, I needed groceries. My neighbor just, their chicken started laying more eggs than they could eat. Wow, imagine that. And God knew you needed eggs. It happens. Start expecting it to happen. Believe for it. Put your mind in the right place. Peter said, I wrote these letters to get your mindset right. And then he read, I want you to realize that God already told us, Jesus told us that in the last days, scoffers would come. Don't worry about those scoffers. Don't worry about those mockers. He said they're going to follow their own desires. That's all right. They can follow their own desires. God's all got a plan in all of it. He knew they were going to do it. They'll say, where's this coming? He promised ever since our fathers died, everything goes on since the beginning, as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And these waters also of the world at that time was deluged, that talking about the flood of Noah. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of who? Ungodly, godless people. He said, don't forget this one thing, though, dear friends. With the Lord, the day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. In other words, he's not under time constraints. When's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? It'll happen when it happens. Just keep the faith. Stay close to God. You ain't got anything to worry about anyway. Let it all unfold. Don't worry about it. All I'm trying to figure out is this... Is Jesus about to come back today? Well, maybe. But what are you going to do if you decide he was going to come back? You going to sit down on your thumbs and do nothing? That's what some of the people in the Bible did in Thessalonians, and they got rebuked for it. So we don't want to do that. We want to live our lives knowing that God has this. God's got a plan. God's victory is the plan. And he answers prayer. So if you got a prayer request, make sure you get them to us. We're going to pray over our prayer requests here in just a minute. Make sure you get those prayer requests to us. If there's something that's been troubling you, let God trouble it. Amen.
Amen.
All right. You ready for some prayer requests?
Whenever you're ready.
I'm ready.
This first prayer request is for Leanne King's cousin, Lindsay, who will have a double mastectomy today. And then we want to continue to pray for the people of Ukraine and our troops that are over there.
Yep.
Pray for the family of Jeffrey Roden, who went to his final resting place, and he was only 50 years old. Mm. Also on my heart today is Paul Warnke, who's battling cancer, and he's taking treatments right now. And I was visiting with someone who saw him at the stock show weekend before last, I think, and he said, Man, he was there all day long. And I know he's doing some proton therapy or radiation. He's taking chemo. He had cancer in all parts of his body. But I know he trusts God. He's trusting the Lord. And, you know, when you hear that kind of information about someone, you think they should be home in bed with their head covered up. Mm. And here he is. He's still
living life.
So and praise
God. That really is directly related to what I was just saying before we went to break. We've got to be living life. This is not a time to pull the covers over your head.
Right.
This is a time to rejoice. If nothing else is going on around here, look up. Mm-hmm. Your redemption draws near.
That's right.
Jesus is on the throne. Amen. So, Father, we bring before you these prayer requests, and I'm going to add one or two to it as I pray. But, Father, we pray for Lynn, King's cousin Lindsay. We know that no woman, Lord God, would want to have a mastectomy. But, Lord, we are thankful, Lord God, that there are medical procedures that can help bring healing, Lord God. And we believe, Father, that this will be a procedure that releases healing. We ask, Lord, that every little bit of breast cancer or prevention of breast cancer be gotten. We ask, Lord God, that you help Lindsay in this time of adjustment in her life. And we pray, God, for your will, your grace to be upon Lindsay. We pray, Lord God, pray for Paul, Lord Warnke, who's battling and sounds like he is winning against that evil of cancer. Father, we know that Jesus healed every form and kind of disease as he walked on this earth. We claim healing from cancer for not only Paul Warnke, but, Father, for all who are battling cancer, whether it is a cancer that is inconvenient or a cancer that is literally life-threatening. We pray against it. We know that it is not God's will. And so we release healing to Paul, to Marisa, to whoever may be battling cancer, Father. I pray, Lord God, for our sister and Lord Bobby Battles, Father God, as she is battling against lung infection, pneumonia. Father, we are thankful, Lord, that she is not diagnosed with any of these viruses that people have been diagnosed with over this past year. But, Father, we believe that you are able to heal her, Lord, completely and totally. We're asking you for a restoration of health. Father, we pray for the family of Jeffrey Roden, Lord God. We know that no matter how old someone is, it's always difficult for us to let go. And, Father, when someone's only 50 years old, it can be even harder. So we pray for that family, Father, that your peace that you can give, as no one else can, would supersede any of the hurtful things that the enemy would try to do, as their hearts are tender. We pray for a revelation of Jesus and a revelation of heaven in this family as their hearts are soft towards you, Father. We pray, Lord, for the people that are involved in the Ukraine conflict, Father. We know that there's a whole lot more going on over there than what we could even possibly understand, Lord God, as Americans who've never, I personally, Lord God, I've never been close to explosions and had people shooting at me and watching my nation be literally dismantled and destroyed. But, Father, I know that you are with the Ukrainian people. You are with, Lord God, the Russian people who are protesting against their leader, Vladimir Putin, who is propagating this atrocity against humanity. Father, we know that on both sides of the fence in Ukraine and Russia, there are people who are doing wrong. And we know that on both sides of that fence, there are people whose hearts are turned to you and they're trusting you. And we pray protection and grace and help for the innocent, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that this conflict come quickly to a close and that, Father, people be protected. We ask specifically and especially, Lord God, for women and children and non-combatants, Lord God. We pray that bombs that are intended to blow up just won't. That missiles are aimed at something just won't go off. And we pray that the conscience of soldiers, especially in the Russian army, Lord God, would be pricked of your Holy Spirit and that they would refuse to obey commands that are evil. We pray, Lord God, that the Russian people rise up and replace this leader that has propagated such evil. We pray that all around the world, Lord God, you raise up leadership that will listen to your voice. You told us in the Word that we're to pray for all those in authority. So, Lord, we lift up all those in authority, both in those two countries and in our own country. All those in authority. All those in authority in NATO countries. And Lord, we come against every evil agenda that does not agree with yours. We ask for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord, laid on my heart while you were praying, Pastor, our daughter Natalie in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the hospital 5 or 6 days with bacterial pneumonia. Mm-hmm. And they also did some work on one of her knees, which had extreme infection in it and arthritis. They sent her home Monday, but she was sent home with an IV antibiotic, which she has to do 3 times a day. Right. And if you've heard me talk about Natalie, you know, she's our sports girl. She's our skier. I know this has got to be really challenging for her to go through right now.
Yeah.
It's about the third surgery she's had to have on that knee in her life. Mm. So lift her up.
We will. Father, we lift Natalie before you. And, Lord God, above all things, we're asking, Lord, that Natalie just be aware of your presence, aware of your goodness, aware of your love. We pray, God, that you would help her, Lord God, to recover as quickly as possible to a full and complete health. We pray, Lord God, that you would be close and near to her in such a way that she hears your voice, drawing her with wisdom what to do, when to do, and how to do. And we ask that your hand of mercy, that same hand of mercy and virtue that touched people on earth, we believe, Jesus, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're asking for your healing touch on all those who need it. And we are lifting Natalie specifically to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, if I can get my mouse to work here.